Welcome everyone to Pre-Shabbat Inspiration and Meditation. This is a new podcast series which will be available on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube shortly after we finish. And I thought we would start this just on a Friday in preparation for Shabbat, a time of holiness, a time of inspiration, just to go through a bit of, it's going to be a bit informal. We just share a couple of ideas, maybe talk about things that have happened during the week, and share some inspiration. So before we start, and before we get into the Shabbat, today is actually in the Jewish calendar, is the 24th of Tevet, and it's the Yahrzeit, it's the day of passing of the Alter Rebbe, the Rebbe Shneur Zalman of Lodi, the founder of the Chabad movement. He passed away in 1812. And he was the first of seven Rebbes, seven righteous people who led the movement, author of his magnum opus, the Tanya, and many other works. And I just thought I'd share a story about the Alter Rebbe. And the story takes place on a Yom Kippur where everyone had gathered in his shul to daven with him. Everyone was deep in prayers. Yom Kippur, it's a, excuse me, a time of meditation, a time of deep prayer, introspection. And he was standing in his tallis and deep in prayer, and suddenly he stopped and he took off his tallis and disappeared. The story unfolded afterwards that what actually happened was he disappeared in the forest because he became aware of a woman, a very, very poor woman in the town, on the outskirts of the town, that had just had a baby. And it seems like there was no one there to take care of her for whatever reason. And was cold, and she wasn't eating properly, and so on. And the Alter Rebbe really felt that she needed the support. So instead of delegating it to someone else, he actually himself went on Yom Kippur, went into the forest, chopped wood, went to this woman's home, made a fire, cooked soup, and then gave her the soup to eat, so that she should be strong, and her and her baby should be healthy. Beautiful story of Ahavat Yisrael, of love one's fellow. Loved one's fellow Jew, and the need, the call that when someone is in need, we have to respond. Even sometimes it means giving up on a spiritual experience, giving up on something deep, helping someone else, helping another person in need. Of course, according to the guidance of Torah, it was completely permitted for him to do that on Yom Kippur because it was a danger of life and so on, but it was no less of a godly experience than staying in shul and davening. So obviously we can't just make up our own experiences, what we choose, what we don't choose, but with the guidance and the moral guidance of the Torah, we also get to know what we can do, what we can't do, but they're all equally spiritual experiences. God doesn't only live in the spiritual, he lives in the physical as well. And sometimes we can serve him through the physical, and it can be as powerful as serving him through the spiritual. So I thought I would just mention that in honor of him. It's his Yahrzeit, 24th of Tevet. We're coming into a special Shabbos. This is the Shabbos Mevorchim Shvat. We're going to bless the new month. It's a Mevorchim Shabbos. We're going to bless a new month known as Shvat, which has in it also the 15th of Shvat, Tu B'Shvat, which is the Rosh Hashanah of the trees. And every Shabbos Mevorchim is a Shabbos of blessing of the new month, but just carries the energy of blessing with it, and it's always a beautiful Shabbos to go into. We've had a rough week, a rough couple of weeks here in Sydney, with so much an escalation of anti-Semitic attacks and so on. There's been a few arrests. Hopefully, we'll see more. But it's always nice to know we're going into Shabbos is a time of faith. Shabbos is a time of strength. Shabbos is a time of strengthening our faith in Hashem. And this going to this Shabbos, it's a Shabbos of blessing, a Shabbos of beauty. So we embrace the Shabbos as it comes in. Wanted to share with you something. You know, many of you know that a number of weeks ago I was on a trip overseas, and one of the places my daughter and myself we visited was the city of Prague, and that's the has the burial place, the cemetery where the great Maharal of Prague is buried. But someone else is buried there is known as the Kliyakar. The Kliyakar is Shlomo Ephraim Lunchitz. And he was a rabbi, he was a disciple of the Maharal of Prague, and he was a rabbi of Prague for 16 years. was born in 1550 and in the 16th century. And in the beginning of the 17th century, 1604, he took upon himself the leadership of the city of Prague, and he was the rabbi of Prague till 1619, when he passed away. He wrote many books. He was an amazing person. One of the more famous commentaries that he wrote is something called the Kli Yakar. It's a commentary on Chumash. And the Torah portions of the week. And on this week's portion, he has many different beautiful things that he says. But tomorrow in Shul, we're going to read the parasha called Va'era. And it's the continuation of the story in the book of Exodus, where God is preparing the Jewish people to go out of Egypt, and he's sending Moshe Rabbeinu, he's sending Moses to redeem the people. Now, when God revealed himself to Moses and asked him to go and take out the Jewish people from Egypt, he was actually hesitant. He was really hesitant. He didn't think he was worthy. He didn't think he spoke nicely. He had a speech impediment and a ralsa fatayim and so on. So it was difficult. So God got a bit tough with him, and he said, and then he complained why things got worse. So at the beginning of the parasha, it says, God says to Moses, Va'era el Avram, it says, Va'yedaber el Moshe, God spoke to Moshe. Now we knew who God was speaking to, but nevertheless emphasized that his name was Moshe. And he told him, you will see now I'm going to take out the Jewish people with great wonders and great miracles. Go and tell them they will be revealed, they will be redeemed, and so on. So let's have a look at the name Moses, Moshe. Not everyone is aware of this, but actually that wasn't his birth name. Although we know him as Moses, our teacher. But actually, when he was born, his parents gave him a different name. According to many commentaries, the name that Moses was given was Tuvia, not Moses. But where did the name Moses come from, Moshe? It comes from the daughter of Pharaoh. We know that the story when Yocheved, his mother, had to hide him in the river Nile, and the reeds and so on. And then they step back, and particularly his sister Miriam stepped back to see what was going to happen. The daughter of Pharaoh, Miriam, Batya, sorry. Batya, the daughter of Pharaoh, came and found him in the river. And she took him out, the whole story. She wanted to nurse him. She didn't, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't nurse. And then Miriam said, I'll get a Jewish lady to nurse him for the next 2 years while he's until he's weaned off, and then you can take him back. And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in the palace of Pharaoh and eventually became the leader, and he took us out of Egypt. But then it says in the Torah that Batya gave him a name, Moshe, because Moshe means Mishki min hamayim mishitihu. I drew him out of the water. I took him out of the water. And that's the name that stuck. That's the name that the Torah gives for Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's his name. And the Kli Yakar points out an interesting thing. He says, I drew him out of water. That's a past tense. And therefore, his name shouldn't have been Moshe. His name should have been Mashui, drawn out. He's someone that was drawn out of the water. Moshe is more of a present tense thing. It's present tense, drawing out. And God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Kli Yakar, that God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, your name, don't resist the leadership. Your name shows that in your DNA, your birth experience, you are the one who's a leader who can continuously be drawn out. Continuously drawn out and draw others out of the water. Here, the water is a reference to turbulence, to the turbulence of exile, to the slavery of Egypt, to the very source of Egypt's sustenance. That was the Nile River. They drew their sustenance from the Nile River. They got irrigation from that river. You are a person, Moshe. You are Moshe. You draw people out of waters. You continuously, you have it within you to release them from their prison, to release them from being trapped in Egypt, in Mitzrayim. And that's Moshe. And that's why it's called Moshe, not Mashui, because it's a continuous thing. It's a present tense thing. It's always happening. And in fact, in Kabbalah, we learn, and this is hinted in the Talmud in many places, that every Jew has a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu's soul. We have Moshe Rabbeinu was the loftiest of all loftiest souls, and his soul is sometimes sort of connected to the leaders, the righteous of every generation. And then in truth, every Jew has a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu in him. And when we access that spark, we're able to extricate ourselves, we're able to take ourselves out from not being trapped. We can experience geula, we can experience self-redemption from the things that hold us back, from the things that tie us up, the things that are preventing us from growing, from developing, from being spiritually free. When we access the Moshe Rabbeinu of ourselves, we're able to experience that redemption from ourselves, from the incarceration of ourselves. And we know that on Shabbat, we talk about Shabbat, we experience the gift that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to us. And our rabbis tell us that on Shabbat, Moshe Rabbeinu, the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu is extra powerful. We say in the prayers of Shabbat, Yismach Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu becomes happy. It's very powerful energy of Moshe Rabbeinu on Shabbat. So perhaps with this week's portion and coming into Shabbat this evening is something to stop and just to think about. Just contemplate on this for a few moments. Maybe just let's stop, not be distracted, not rush, but just in the context of calmness, just reflect on this idea. We all know that we have a soul. Think about the soul. The soul is not visible, it's not tangible, but it's a reality, it's a powerful energy. Our soul is godly. And deep down in the soul, there's an extra special spark, a lofty spark connected to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moses, the soul of Moses. And when we come into Shabbat or we think deeply into connecting to our Moshe Rabbeinu spark, we reflect on his name, Min Hamayim Meshitiu, drawing out of the water, schlepping him out of the water when the water was dangerous. We all are caught up in our own water. We all get swept up in the turbulence of life, which is sometimes toxic and negative, hard, complicated. A wall between us and our spiritual growth, a wall between us and connection. But this is the parasha of understanding that Moshe Rabbeinu, the part of us, just like Moses took the Jewish people out of Egypt, the part, our soul, the Moses spark in our soul, can take us out of our personal Egypt, can take us out of those things that hold us back, those negative thoughts, those expectations and things that are being pulled, that we've been pulled with, that distract us, that hold us back. Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore the Shabbat experience, can help take us out of our Mitzrayim, out of our Egypt, release ourselves from ourselves, and take us to a higher spiritual level. That we come into the week after Shabbat, we're armed, we're fortified with the power to connect higher and to achieve deeply and to have faith. So that's our little idea for the week. I want to wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom. May next week bring true blessing. Blessing of calmness, of peace, of security for Jewish community here in Sydney, but for the Jews all over the world. And let us hear only good news. Shabbat Shalom.